Nothans in Kolel, she on Tehillim chapter 10, give my gosh on Hepner on Sunday the 21st of January 2007, Beis Shavat Toshin Samach Zayin. Right, I'll go through the first seven psukim. I actually have not prepared the whole chapter, much to my sadness. I haven't yet prepared the whole chapter. I prepared the first seven psukim, so I'll go through the first seven with the English. The general gist of the whole chapter is one of how to deal with one's enemies. And the chapter is largely a description of Rishoyim, which is a bit depressing maybe, but I suppose it teaches us what to avoid. So, chapter, let's go from the beginning. Lama Hashem Tamed Berachok, why Hashem do you stand at a distance? Ta'alim, you hide yourself, Le'itos Batoro, during bad times. The Ga'avas Rosha Yidlak Oni, with the pride of the Rosha, he chases the poor man. Yitofsu, they will be grabbed or they'll be trapped. Bimizimus Zu Choshovu, with the traps that they have thought of. We'll have to obviously go and see what all this is about. Kihimel Rosha Al Tavas Snafsho, the Rosha praises himself for his own desires. And the plunderer or the robber again Beirich blesses himself niets Hashem and despises God. Rosha kagova apo, the Rosha, due to the pride of his own face or his own countenance, bal yidrosh, he says God won't look for me, God won't bother about me. Eina lekim, kol mizimosof. All his plans are all about saying, Eina lekim, there is no God. Yachilu terachav b'chalis, his ways are successful all the time. That's the Rosha rides on a crest of wave, he's got lots of success. Morom mishpatecho minegdo, your judgment about him is way up on high, i.e. far and removed. It appears you don't judge him. Called Tsarov, as for all his enemies, Yofiach Bahem, he blows them out the way. The Rosha seems to have a lot of success, and he can blow all his enemies away. Omar the Libo, he says in his heart, Bal Emot, I will not slip. Ledur Vadur, Ashel Overa, I'll go for generation after generation without any evil. No harm can ever befall me. Allah Pihu Moli, he fills his mouth with curses, or mirmos, and lies, and conceit. Vasoch is another expression for, deception, deceit. Tachas v'shono, omol v'oven, and deceit, and all these sorts of bad ways of speech are all tachas v'shono, under his tongue. Ah, it's so hard to translate these words. Thank you. Right. As an introduction to the chapter, the Radak says that the chapter is David giving us a tefillah for when facing any enemy. When you're up against an enemy, this chapter describes the enemy and teaches you how to face up to the enemy, and is a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you out with the enemy. The Meiri says something very similar. He says it deals mainly when the non-Jews control Eretz Yisrael and give the Yidden a lot of hassle and a lot of trouble. Again, it's our tefillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us out from that. And the Alkama Meiris says it's more to do with the poor man, poverty-stricken person, who has to face up to the wealthy oppressor. Not every wealthy person is an oppressor, but if a wealthy person oppresses the poor man, this is the tefillah for the poor man to help him out. And then he adds one more thing in the Alkut Me'amez, that this is the chapter that David HaMelech composed prior to fighting Goliath. Ah, and it's like a description of Goliath and a preparation for fighting Goliath. So it largely deals with, it speaks about Rishoyim, wicked people, Rishus, what they do wrong, and it's our tefillah to how to cope with those Rishoyim. Okay, let's go back to Pasuk Aleph. There's loads to do. We'll see how we go. Right, Lama Hashem Tamed Berachok. Why, Kodesh Baruch Hu, do you stand at a distance?
ta'alin, you hide, and it means you hide yourself, le'itos batzora, for bad times. That phrase, le'itos batzora, actually came on the previous chapter, and I think it might be Pasuk Kaf on the previous chapter. I haven't got the Pasuk numbers here. But anyway, it came up in the previous chapter, le'itos batzora, bad times. Why Hashem, do you stand at a distance? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're fighting enemies. Thank you. Was it Yud? Oh, thank you. Chapter, Pasuk 10. Sorry. Pasuk 10, thank you. Alright. So why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do you stand at a distance, distancing yourself when we're in trouble from our enemies? Please help us out. Now Rashi explains, Ta'alim, why do you hide? Says Rashi, hide what? It actually doesn't say. The word talim really is in the hifil to cause to hide. But it doesn't say what we're causing to hide. So Rashi says it means hiding your eyes. Why do you hide your eyes? Like, and of course it's a muscle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides his eyes. He doesn't want to have anything to do with us. Why do you stand aloof? We need your help now. Don't hide yourself in the situation. Please help us out. The Targum adds just a couple of phrases, words on this. Says the Targum, titamar, you hide, but he adds in, bimadar kadishin, in holy places, or in the places where holy people dwell, or holy things dwell. And in the art scroll, he explained that that Targum, what's this holy place? It's the, who are these holy people, or holy things? It's the Malachim. So you hide in Shamayim, where the Malachim reside. So he adds in that phrase, bimadar kadishin, in a holy abode. And that's a reference to where the Malachim are, i.e. in Shemayim. The Ibn Ezra says, Ibn Ezra and also the Radak say, that make a point of saying, well, we know Malach HaLoritz Kavodo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory fills the whole world. So why are we saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding away when his glory fills the whole world? And he says, very simply, that we would, what we would understand in any case, namely, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't help us clearly, or isn't immediately on hand to help us out of difficulties, it appears to us as though he's hiding. Of course he's there, and it's for us to find him, rather for him to find us. But it appears, it gives an appearance as though he's hiding away. The Radak says that this word...
Just in point of him, I think, that's hiding from Hashem, it's like a mirror. So if you approach a mirror, it appears that the mirror image is also stepping forward towards you. If you step back from a mirror, it appears that the reflection is also stepping back from you. So Hashem will mirror what we do. If we try and come close to Hashem, Hashem will come close to us. If we step back, Hashem, it will appear as if Hashem is stepping back further.
Oh, thank you. It reminds me of that. I heard that as a child. Thank you. The Radak points out, this Lama Hashem Ta'amud, why do you stand Baruchuk? Says the Radak, that word Baruchuk, it literally means in distance. And he adds in that it means the base of B'rochok, that base stands for a whole word, B'mokum Rochok. Why do you stand at a distant place? It's an abbreviated form of saying B'mokum Rochok. The Yalkut Me'amayis says that on the previous chapter, we had a pasuk which says, Yishaftu Goyim El Panecho, the nations should be judged before you. So that chapter says, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, judge the nations and exact punishment against them for all the harm they've done to us. And now we have a really stark contrast, and David says, now where are you? He said, Lama Hashem Tamid Baruch Hu, why do you stand aloof? Why do you stand apart? When the last chapter finished, Yishaftu Goyim El Panecho, you should be there judging the nations and punishing them for all the harm they've done to us. Now, yesterday, I was in the Eitz Chaim Yeshiva for my nephew Betzalel's Alfruf, yeah, Betzalel lost, and with all the svarim there, Yaakov Chaim, my son, during the kiddush,
Bridge Lane,
it was Eitz Chaim Yeshiva, in Bridge Lane, that's right. So during the kiddush, my son, who can't stay away from svarim shelves, went off and hunted out as many svarim as he could where there's reference to Tehillim chapter Yud. And he picked out a sefer written by Rabbi Yehuda Assad. Now, just by way of introduction, Rabbi Yehuda Assad lived
in Hungary.
That's it.
Hungary
in the 19th century. He was a friend and communicated with the Chasam Sofa and also with Rav Shimshon von Hirsch. I brought along the biography of Rav Shimshon von Hirsch just to show you a photograph of Rabbi Yehuda Assad. And he, so, it's a very lovely, clear photo. of Rabbi Yehuda Assad, he wrote Shalis Achivus. He's also an ancestor of Rabbi Brunner. Rabbi Eli Brunner. And Rabbi Brunner has actually gone out of his way to publish some of the Sforim of Rabbi Yehuda Assad, of his great-great-great-great-whatever grandfather. So, yeah, good to know. So, now there, Rabbi Yehuda Assad, he found a sefer there on Chumash, and at the back of it there's a section on Tillim, and Rabbi Yehuda Assad brings a most wonderful pshat on this pasuk. So he says, you have to go a bit round the houses to get there. He says, we know that the Shem Hashem, Yudke Vovke, is a name of Rachamim, of Rachmanus. Elohim represents Midas Hadin, Yudke Vovke represents Midas Rachamim. But if you have the Shem Hashem, Yudke Vovke, twice in a row, then it represents Midas Hadin. And that gives us certain obvious kasha, because when we can, in Parshas Kisisa, when we have the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim, it starts with Hashem Hashem. That's Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim. How can it be that the two names of Hashem represent Din together, when that's it after all the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim? So, in order to cope with this, you have to realize that there's a huge machlokas rishonim as to what the Yud Gimel Midas are. We have 13 expressions of Rachamim, but what are they? Oh, you would have done it very recently in Rosh Hashanah. It's in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yudzayin Amud Beis. There's a huge machlokas rishonim, and I'll zip through the machlokas rishonim. I've jotted it down here. I actually keep this piece of paper in my Yom Kippur machzor for saying the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the 13 are Hashem, 1, Hashem, 2, Kael 3, Rachum 4, Chanun v'Chanun 5, Erech Hapayim is 6, Rav Chesed is 7, Emes is 8, Mitzah Chesed La'alofim is 9, Mosei Oven is 10, Vafesha 11, Vachata'a 12, V'Nakei is 13. That's according to Rabbi Nutan. According to the Arizal, it's Kael. He doesn't start with Hashem Hashem, he jumps into the few words. Kael is 1, Rachum is 2, Chanun is 3, Erech Abhayim together count as 4 and 5, because Erech Abhayim is patient, and Hashem is patient towards the Tzaddik and also to a Rasha. Rav Chesed is 6, Emes is 7, Notza Chesed is 8, La'alofim is 9, Notzei Oven is 10, Vafesha is 11, Chata'a is 12, and Vanake is 13. According to the Sefer Chasidim, he starts with Rachum, Hashem Hashem Kael Rachum. So Rachum is number 1, Chanun is number 2, Erech Hapayim is number 3, Val Chesed is 4, Emes is 5, Netzach Chesed Lalotim is 6, Netzei Oven is 7, Vafesha is 8, Chata'a is 9, Vanake is 10. Then, the Salachto la'aveneinu is 11, Ulachatofinu is 12, and the Unachaltonu is 13. But the one we need to concentrate on for this morning is this one, from Rav Nissim Gon, where he says, you don't have the first Hashem. The first Hashem goes together with the phrase Vayikra. What's the Lashon? Oh gosh, how's the pasuk go? Vayav Hashem Aponov, Vayav Hashem Aponov, Vayikra Hashem. Now that first Hashem, he says, belongs to the word Vayikra. Vayikra Hashem, God called out. So according to Rav Nissim Gon, number 1 is the second Shem Hashem, and it goes as follows: number 1 Hashem, Kael is 2, Rachum is 3, Chanun is 4, Erech Hapayim is 5, Rav Chesed is 6, Emes is 7, Notzah Chesed is 8, La'alofim is 9, Nosei Oven is 10, Vafesha is 11, Chata'a is 12, and Vinakei is 13. Which one? La'alofim. Because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his Rachmanus not just to individuals, but La'alofim to multitudes, to thousands. That's how it works.
It's a chesed in itself. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right. It's an item in itself that shows it's chesed to thousands of people. Exactly. So, now, concentrating on this one, Rav Nissim Gon, the phrase is, you're not happy with that. You're not happy with that? No? That's how
it's an opinion, that's all.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. But if you take the other example, which the Arizal brings, where he says Erech HaPayim counts as two. Now really Erech HaPayim is one phrase, slow to anger. Excuse me. Yeah, Erech HaPayim is one phrase. How can it stand for two? So he says because his Erech HaPayim, says Arizal, not just to Tzadikim, but also, or I should say, even to Rishayim. He's even patient with Rishayim. So take that same style of argument, and you say Hashem shows his Rachmanus even La Lofim. Yeah? Yeah. So, okay, so it says Rabbi Yehuda Asad, taking that phrase, Vayikra Hashem, comma, Hashem called out, then you have Hashem Ke Racham Chanan. So he says, Vayikra, that's answered it. We had the Kasha, if Yud Ke Vokke is Midasa Rachamim, that put two together and comes from the Tadin, Yud Ke Vomidas start with Hashem Hashem. The answer is no, but that first Hashem is not part of Yud Ke Vomidas. It's Vayikra Hashem. So he says, now come back to this Pasuk. Lomo Hashem Tamed Berochek. Why Hashem do you stand at a distance? That first Yud Ke Vovke is at a distance. Because it belongs to the word Vayikra. Vayikra Hashem, comma. So that first Shem Hashem is at a distance. Why? Because you've got to be there. Talim, you're there. You've hidden away. Talim is to hide. You've hidden away the first Shem Hashem. Le'itos Batora, to be there for times of trouble, to show Rachmanus. That's how Rabbi Yehuda Asad learns it. That first Hashem does not belong to the second word Hashem. It's Vayikra Hashem, comma, and then we start the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. So that first Hashem stands away at a distance. Why does it stand at a distance? Lam Hashem Tam Nebrochuk. Talim, you know why you've hidden away the first Hashem? In order to give Rachmanus Litzis Batora for the troubled times. To give Rachmanus. Isn't that a beautiful shot?
Bring out the second Hashem on its own.
Exactly. So the second Hashem should stand by itself and be Midas HaRachmanus. Yeah. Isn't that a wonderful shot?
Good idea.
I thought that was fantastic thought there. Yeah. Okay. Now the Yalkut Shimoni says that David HaMelech with this pasuk is one of four people who have cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost as an accusation. Lama Hashem Tamad Baruch Hu, why do you stand at a distance? It's like almost an accusation towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's strange, really. And the Yalkut Shimoni brings the other three as well. And with each of them, Hashem has a response. And with each of them, the response is along the lines of, I'm not hiding away. I'm there. You've hidden from me. Finally, Solov have ignored me. And in this particular case, the Yalkut Shimoni says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that there was a 3.5 year siege of Yerushalayim. I don't know who was carrying out the siege, but Yalkut Shimoni says there were some enemies fought against Yerushalayim, or was besieging Yerushalayim for 3.5 years. And during those 3.5 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for Klal Yisrael to do teshuva. And what did Hashem do? He brought the Shekhinah to Har HaZesim, and the Shekhinah rested above Har HaZesim, and the Shekhinah was like a constant call to Klal Yisrael, saying, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, it's in Yeshaya chapter Nun Hei Pasuk Vav, Dushu Hashem B'motzo, seek Hashem when He is to be found, Kara'uhu, you call upon Him, B'yosevara, while He's close. So Hashem was saying, I'm here, I'm close by, I'm right here waiting for you, and I'm waiting for you at the top of Har HaZesim, and it's up to you to call me. So David says, Lam Hashem Tamad Berachah, why are you standing at a distance? And Hashem responds, I'm not standing at a distance. For 3.5 years I've been waiting for you. And been saying, you call to me, and I'm waiting for you. And you didn't call. So you didn't call to me, that's not my fault, that's your fault. And this Medrash is brought as well in the Medrash Shechetov, and is expounded with a Moshel. And the Moshel is a very simple Moshel of a Shayar. A Shayar is a carriage driver who drives his caravan or his carriage through the forests, and at night he wants to make a stop, and he stops, and he knocks on someone's door, he's invited to spend the night by a very humble woodsman who's living in a very humble sort of shack.
and the grand caravan driver says, thank you, but no thank you. It's beneath my dignity to spend the night in this place. And he moves on. And of course, night closes in, and he gets a little bit scared, and the animals are around and attacking him, or ready to attack. So the caravan decides to eat humble pie, and he goes back to this woodsman, and knocks on the door, and he says, look, can I come in now? And the woodsman says, terribly sorry. When you came early, I would have been very happy to take you. But now, I don't take people in the middle of the night, and too late, mate. You know, you had your chance, but you blew it. So that's the same idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm there. It's for you to come to me, and I'm waiting for you. David accuses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you standing at a distance? And Hashem responds, I'm not standing at a distance. You've distanced yourself from me.
It's like lack of tefillah, is that what?
Yes, exactly. Tefillah, teshuvah, and so on. It's for you to come to me, not for me to come to you. Exactly. The Medrash Rabbah in Bamidbar, chapter Yud Aleph, Os Zion, I haven't seen it in the Medrash Rabbah, I saw it quoted, says that, oh yes, that's right, says, contrast this pasuk, Lama Hashem Tam Yoche, why do you stand at a distance, with the pasuk from Ashrei, Korov Hashem Lechol Kerov, Hashem is close by, Lechol Hashem Ruvem, if anyone wants to call him in truth, Hashem is close by. So that pasuk in Ashrei says Hashem is close, this pasuk here says Hashem is distant. How do you ratify the two pasukim?
Lechol Kerov,
to those who call him.
Exactly.
You could ratify like that, but the Medrash Rabbah actually does it differently. He says that before Hashem does a gezeirah, before Hashem takes his decision, he's close by. Yes. He's there, he's waiting for you to sway that decision through your own tefillah. But once the decision is made, then, and finalized, then he's distant. Then Lama Hashem Tamad Berachah, then he can be distant. That's how the Medrash Rabbah ratifies it. Now, the first word in this chapter, Lomar, is a huge word in Tanakh. Why are you smiling? The word Lomar comes in two flavors. One flavor is what we normally have, where the accent goes on the lamed, Lomar, and there is a dogish in the mem. The other flavour of the word lama is what we have here, where the accent goes on the mem, and one should really read it lama, I wasn't careful how I read it earlier, lama, accent on the mem, without a dogish in the mem. Okay? And they very often come in close proximity to each other. I've noticed this in Chumash, that when you have lama, with the accent on the mem, without the dogish, very close by, very often, within a pasuk, you have the other version, lama, accent on the lamed, with the dogish in the mem. I don't know why that is. For example, in Kisisa, the leaning from the Tanis Sibyl, we have lama Hashem. Lama Hashem Yechere Apacha Be'amecha. I hope I've learned that correctly. Lama, accent on the mem. And then very soon after that you have Lama Yemiru Mitzrayim. Right? So you have these two words, Lama, and then Lama. Now, I don't really understand this, but Rav Shimshon von Hirsch, in Kisisa, gets very excited about this, and first of all, he quotes from the Radak. The Radak wrote a sefer on Dikduk called the Sha'ar HaMilim. And there, the Radak is a grammatical explanation for these two different versions of the same word. And he says that before an Aleph, He, or Ayin, it becomes Loma, without the dogish in the mem. And it's a phonetical thing, before an Aleph, He, or Ayin. So we have Loma Hashem, where the name Hashem is pronounced as though it starts with an aleph, right? Ado, right? It sounds as though it's got an aleph. So before one of those sounds, the accent goes on the mem. Whereas all other cases, the accent goes on the lamed. And then apparently, I haven't seen this Radak, then apparently the Radak brings loads and loads of exceptions and has to explain all the exceptions, yeah? And Rav Shimshon von Hirsch says this rule is really not he's not happy with the rule because there's so many exceptions to it. So the Rav Shimshon von Hirsch has a whole different pshat, which I don't really understand, but I'll say it because that's how he learns it. He says the word lama, accent on the lamed, with a dogish in the mem, means why. Lama,
accent on the mem without the dogish in the mem means le ma, to what? And it means to what purpose? That's how he puts it. That's how it says in it. Now, I don't understand that really fine difference between why and to what purpose. But Rav Shimshon Felhirsch did understand the difference, and he writes about it. And so, Mishun Kavodo, it's worthwhile mentioning it. And
depending on really, where they put it in, with like Lamor.
Yeah.
And he says, it fits in the apostle.
Exactly. Lamor is why, and Lamor is for what purpose, or to what purpose. How Shem Shem Falhash learned to such a depth that you see a difference between Lama and Lama. But it's a bit beyond me. His pshat there, I don't really understand it. Okay. The Alshich. Oh, long pieces of Alshich on this whole chapter. I can see I'm not going to cope with much of it. But on this first prosek, I understood it. And again, I think I understood it. If I didn't understand it, I'm very close to getting it right. And it's along the following lines. Pasuk at the end of Parshas Beshalach. After Amalek came to attack, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki yod al keis ka milchoma ba'amalek. Ledor. I think that's the pasuk. Ki yod al keis ka. So the pshat in that pasuk is, Ki yod, the hand of Hashem, is on the throne of Hashem. Ki yod al keis ka. Now that word keis is written, should normally be kisei, but it's written keis. And ka is just yud and then hey. And which is only half of Hashem's name. Hashem's full name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Chazal tell us, and it's brought, I think, by Rashi and Pasuk, that Hashem's name will not be complete until Amalek is finally wiped out. Hashem's name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also suffers due to Amalek, and his name is Ka, Yud Kei. But pending the defeat, the final downfall of Amalek, when it, once again it can revert to its fullness of Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's Ki Yod Al Keis Ka. Now, says the Alshich, here's the remez in this pasuk. Ki Yod Al Keis, Loma Hashem Tamid Barachot. Why Hashem is your name at a distance? Your name is only half of what it should be. It's just Yud Kei. And it should be Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why is that? Why? Because we're waiting. Talim, you hide your name. Le'itos batzora, while we have bad times with Amalek still around. But eventually, Amalek will be defeated, and then we'll have good times. Itos, in the plural, good times. Why? He quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter 5, pasuk kafes, where the pasuk says, Ani Hashem, I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be'ito, in its right time, achishena, I will hurry it. And it's a reference to bringing Moshiach. As and when the right time comes, I'll hurry Moshiach along. So the Gemara asks a kasha, it's Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadiches Amdalot. And it's brought by Rabbi Alexandri in the name of Rabbi Shoga Navy. He asks a kasha, it's a contradiction. Be'ita means I'll bring Moshiach in his right time. Achishena means I'll hurry him along. Well, it can't be both, it's one or the other. Either he comes when he's ready, or he comes... earlier, right? How can it be both? Says the Gemara, no, it depends. If Klal Yisrael zoche, if Klal Yisrael merit it, then Achishena, I'll bring him early. I'll hurry him along. If they're not zoche, then he'll come at the preordained time. Then he'll come at the right time. Zochu, Achishena. Lo zochu, v'ito. Says the Alshich, that's it, you have le'itos, it's a plural. There are two times when Mashiach could come. He could either come early, if Klal Yisrael zochet him, or he might come at the right time, which is a later time, if we're not zochet to his early arrival. So it says, Talim le'itos batzora. I'm not quite sure how that fits in with the word batzora, but Talim le'itos means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is halved his name, it's only Yud Kei, until Le'itos, until those good times of when Moshiach will arrive, and then once again Amalek will be defeated, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will revert to being in full of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Maldim on this word Talim asks the kasha that we mentioned earlier, namely that Talim means you'll hide what? So he says it's simple, it means hiding himself. As he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself. And he quotes a pasuk from next week's Sefer Parshas Beshalach, chapter Yudal, pasuk Yud, where the pasuk says, Ufaro Hikriv, which we translate as being Paro approached, right? He's chasing Klal Yisrael, just before Kriyas Yamsuf. Ufaro Hikriv. But that word Hikriv is very strange, because Hikriv really means is in the Hifdil, it's a causative. He caused to come near.
He caused what to come near? Doesn't say. So the pshat is, he caused himself to come near. Says the Malbim, like Ufaro Hikriv, which is also a Hifil, means he caused himself to come near. Likewise, Talim is also in the Hifil, and it means Hashem hides himself. He causes something to hide. What's he causing to hide? He's causing himself to hide. Good? That's Pasuk Aleph. Alright with this? You okay?
So Olam is the world. Hashem is hidden in the world.
That's right, yes, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, Hashem is in that's right. Yeah. Okay, Pasuk Beis. The Ga'avas Rasha, with the pride of the Rasha, Yidlak Oni, he will chase the poor man. Yitofsu, they will be trapped, or they'll be caught, B'mezimos Zu Choshovu, with the traps, or the snares, that they have dreamt up, or that they have thought of. So, this is a pasuk of the oppressive Rasha who chases the poor man in order to oppress him. So this word Yidlak is a very interesting word. Yidlak means to chase. We had it in Pashas Vayetze, and Rashi quotes the pasuk when Lavan chases Yaakov, and it's chapter Lamed Aleph, pasuk Lamed Vav, where Yaakov turns around to Lavan and he says, Ma pishi, ma chatosi, what have I done wrong to you? Ki dolakto acharoi, that you've chased after me. Yeah, you've chased after me. So this word, Dalad Lamed Kuf, is to chase someone. Some of Farshim learn that it really means, yeah, the Malbim learns, it's connected to fire. Lahadlik is to light up. Yeah? Dolik, to light. And it's not just to chase. To pursue is reish dalet fei. Rodeif is to chase. This word, dolik, is to chase with a fiery enthusiasm. That's how he learns it. That's how the Malbim learns it. Yeah. Now, what's this idea of yitofsu? They'll be caught, b'mezima zu choshovu, with the traps that they have dreamt up, or that they've thought about. So the Radak learns that here, who are the people who are going to be trapped? It's the Rishoyim. They will lay traps for their victims, their intended victims, but they'll be hoisted on their own petard, and they themselves will fall, they themselves will be entrapped in the traps that they themselves have set for others. We've actually had very similar ideas on some earlier chapters.
Eventually.
Yes, yeah. Eventually. They will be caught by their own traps.
In the battle of the four kings, they should have won in their own home territory, because they shouldn't have known where they were, yet they fell into their own pits.
Oh, they were fighting on their own home territory. And they fell in their own chest. And they fell in their own mud. Yeah. Oh, that's it. Oh, that's okay. Oh. So he said, the Radak learns that this word zu, bimizimos zu, the word zu really implies the word asher. In the traps, zu choshavu, asher choshavu, that they were thinking about. The traps that they themselves have set for others. That's how the Radak learns it. Now, the Yalkim Yamlois learns a little bit differently. The Yalkim Yamlois learns this word yidlak as the pride of the Rasha, the pride of the oppressive Rasha, Yidlak Oni will set the poor man on fire. That's how he learns it. Not to chase the poor man, but will set him on fire. Yidlak. Why? Because Nebuch, the poor fellow who's being oppressed by the Rasha, he's cocking away inside him, right? He's on fire inside the poor man, and that's how the Yalkut Memnois understands this word Yidlak Oni. The Yalkut Memnois also, quotes a very interesting Gemara on this pasuk.
He's got all the sorrows inside him.
Exactly, he's on fire, that's right.
Fuming.
Thank you, he's fuming.
Fuming. They got the bailiffs after him.
Exactly. The Yalkut Memnois quotes a Gemara in Brachas Taf Nun Heyamud Beis, which speaks about dreams. So it's a very interesting Gemara here. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, La Odom Tov, in Marim Lo Chalom Tov. A good man never has a good dream. Okay, a good man never has a good dream. Ula Odom Ra, and a bad man, in Marim Lo Chalom Ra, never has a bad dream. And the Gemara goes on to say that David HaMelech, you got that? Yeah? David HaMelech only ever had bad dreams. Good man, bad dreams. Achisofel, bad man, only ever had good dreams. Rashi explains, why should this be? Says Rashi, because a bad dream terrifies a person and he wakes up in an awful state. And that's
a bit of a punishment. With that's getting a punishment in Olam Hazeh, thereby storing up all his rewards for Olam Haba. He won't have any punishment to face in Olam Haba. And the converse, a bad man only has good dreams. He wakes up, he has wonderful dreams. Yeah, he wakes up, he's only had lovely, pleasant dreams, and that's his reward for any good things he may have done in his life. So he gets his reward in Olam Hazeh, and part of his reward is getting his having good dreams. Right? So, good man, bad dreams; bad man, good dreams.
Tzadik v'ra'lo.
Exactly. That's exactly. Tzadik v'ra'lo is very much the theme of this chapter. Absolutely. Tzadik v'ra'lo. Yeah. Absolutely. Shkeich. I forgot to say that. So. Says the Yalkut Me'amnois, there's a hint to that in this pasuk. Why? Yitof, in the second half of this pasuk, Yitofzu b'nezima zu chashavu. Zu chashavu, something that you think about, is a reference to a dream, says the Yalkut Me'amnois. It's on one's mind. One's dreams play on one's mind. And Yitofzu, they are caught. Who are caught? The two types of people mentioned at the beginning of the pasuk. Who are they? The Rasha, the bad man, and the Oni, who's representative of the good man. Both bad men and good men are both involved in this idea of the mezimah chashav, of that which you think about affects you, and it's a reference to the dreams. Good men have the bad dreams, bad men have the good dreams. And it's a hint in this pasuk. They're both good people. Rasha and Oni are both involved in this concept of whatever they think about, i.e., the dreams have an effect, have a bearing on their madrigal. I should say the other way around. Their madrigal has a bearing on what they dream about.
How does that square up to the notion that Shama, when you fall asleep, goes up to Shemayim for refreshment? For refreshing, because the sleep is 1/60th of death.
So if you have a bad dream, you wake up feeling lousy.
Yes, I mean, but yeah. you're refreshing your soul. Your soul, you go up to your maker, and you wake up refreshed in the morning. So where does the bad dream come into that?
No idea. No idea. Oh. Right. The Medrash Shechetov comments on this pasuk. What do we have? Oh yes, it's people being hoisted on their own petard, right? They set a trap, and then they themselves are caught by that trap. Says the Medrash Shechetov that we have this with the sale of Yosef. Very critical of the brothers for selling Yosef. What happens there? In the sale of Yosef, the pasuk says, then Pashas Vayeshev, Vayeshvu Lechol Lechem. They sat down to eat. And then after that, they sold him. Well, they threw him in the pit. After that, they threw him in the pit. And then later after that, they sold him. So it's the Medrash Shechetov. They sold Yosef after having a gezunta meal. How are we punished for that? How are we hoisted on that petard? In the story of Purim. Because Klal Yisrael, the gezerah to kill Klal Yisrael, made by Achashverosh and Haman, came. After Haman and Achashverosh cooked up their plan to kill the Jews, right, let's drink on it, right? And they sat down, the end of chapter 3. So they sat down to have a lechaim over that. So, like the brothers ate and then threw Yosef in the pit, we were punished for that by our downfall was sealed by Haman and Achashverosh, and then they sat down to have a drink. Likewise, the brothers told Yaakov that Yosef had been sold. The brothers sold Yosef as a slave down to Egypt, and as a punishment for that, says the Medrash Shechetov, every year Klal Yisrael must recite Avodim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. We were slaves to Paro. We sold Yosef. Right, now you've got to recite on an annual basis that we recount that we were slaves to Paro. Right, as a direct punishment having sold Yosef. The brothers caused Yaakov to tear his clothes when he heard the news that Yosef had been, or as far as he was told, Torah of Torah. Yosef has been killed by this wild animal, so he tore his clothes. Vayikra Yaakov Simlosov. What's the parallel of that? That when the
goblet was discovered at the end of Parshas Makeit in the rucksack or in the suitcase of Binyamin. Vayikru usim lo sam, the brothers tore their clothes. So everything is a midah keneged midah. That's the phrase I was thinking of. Midah keneged midah. Yeah. Everything that they did to the Yosef, and it's considered wrong for them to do this, so we were punished along the way for it. And that's the idea of Yitofsu b'mizim ezuchashavu, the plan that you have to do against someone else, it rebounds on you. As one interesting aside to all of this is that in that Medrash, Rabbi Sachar says that these punishments that Klal Yisrael suffer for that sale of Yosef are despite the fact that Yosef forgave them. Yeah, Yosef forgave them. So in Vayigash chapter 9, hey, Pasuk Ches, he says, Ra'atra lo atem shalachta Mosi, hey, no. Ra'atra lo atem ches. You didn't send me here. Who organized me to be down here? So even though Yosef forgave the brothers, nevertheless, we still have this rebound of the punishment against them. And that's the power of Yitofsu b'mizim ezuchashavu. The Malbim says a very interesting thing on this.
So the punishment was the embarrassment. Yosef's in charge here.
But the other ones, like having to tear the clothes and having to constantly remind ourselves that we were slaves to Paro, all of those are punishments for the sale of Yosef. Yeah.
What is the statement of the also from the punishment? That they sold him as a slave, they all became a slave.
It sounds like it, yes. And part of, it makes sense, yeah. And part of all of that is that we have to remind ourselves of that embarrassment on an annual basis. The Malbim says a very interesting thing on this pasuk, combining pasuk alef and pasuk beis. Talim li'itzos batzora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pshat number one, you hide yourself at bad times. Pshat number two is talim li'itzos batzora v'ga'avas rosha. How do you hide yourself? Through the rosha. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, appoint rosha'im to punish us. And it's really you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, working behind the scenes. You've hidden yourself in the workings of the Rishoyim. You make the Rishoyim punish us, or you make other people punish us, but really that's Talim. You've hidden yourself behind the Ga'avas Rosha, behind the pride of the Rosha, whom you send to punish us. That's another shot brought by the Malbim. How are we doing for time? I can't see the clock. No. 3:11. Right. Pasuk Gimel is the biggest Pasuk. How long do you have to carry for? Should we leave it there? Do you want to close there? Yeah. We'll close there. We'll continue. We've got another session next week. Can we have a session?
Two more sessions.
Two more sessions, but we're going to need, I can see we're going to need many more. At this rate.
I'd rather do them all consecutively.
Yeah.
Okay.